Continue to praise the Lord right now. How do we worship your name? Hallelujah. Let's everybody clap our hands to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. This is a most significant moment to stand in this tabernacle. After hearing the music ministry and voice of the legendary Merle Ewing, and then to be so favored of God as to one more time hear, feel, and experience the anointed ministry of the legendary Billy Cole. You have been highly favored of the Lord today. And the anointing of the Lord is in the house right now. And I'm grateful for that. And I appreciate so much what God is doing right in this very moment of time. I believe exactly as Brother Cole has spoken, that the back of the adversary is broken. And that revival is ours. I want to take a few moments of time and try to bless every pastor in this room and inspire every child of God in this most decisive, determinate moment. We need the direction from the Word of God. We need the solidity of the Word and the certainty of the Word. And I appreciate so very much the privilege of sharing it with you today. I would like you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse number 27. I will not endeavor at all to try to add to, substantiate, support, or underwrite what God did last night. That was last night. That was God. I give Him thanks and I give Him praise for it. Today I want to go a different direction. Try to address what I feel is significant at this moment for every Christian. And I may be just preaching to the choir today, but you know anymore in the apostolic ministry, you don't preach merely to the people you see. The DVD, the video, the CD travels. God gives us opportunity to bless those that will never stand on this campground. And so with that in mind, I carry you to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 27. Thank you again to the leadership of this district for the confidence invested in us to stand before you at this most significant time in this camp meeting. I am humbled and honored by your generous invitation. And I love you and appreciate your great response to the Word of God. The most important part of church is not the singing. It's not the preaching. The most important part of church is your response. And that was magnificent last night. And I believe there'll be a great response today. And everybody said amen. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 27. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. That David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today. I want to preach to you on the subject, the voice of the empty pew. The voice of the empty pew. Would you put your Bible down and give Jesus a great big hand if you're grateful to be in His presence? Thank you, Jesus. I feel a revival spirit in this auditorium right now. And everybody shouted amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The reading of our text indicated that David's absence fostered and initiated questions. Saul said, "Where is the son of Jesse?" I want you to turn around to someone right now and say, when you're not in church, you are missed. When you are not in church, you are missed. And a lot of folks want to know why. The empty pew speaks loudly. The Christian's life is to be an exclamation point and not a question mark. We are not to be a source of distraction or question in the congregation. How many services have been distracted because folks were wondering where somebody was? I know I'm probably not supposed to do this, but allow me for the sake of, well, I'll just grab a chair and maybe stay up here seeing so we can continue on here. My dear mother-in-law, who is now deceased for about 3 years, one of the greatest Christians that I've ever met. But she had the gift of sitting in church facing the preacher and was continually she would close one eye. And the whole service, she was taking roll. Unappointed. But she worried so much about who was there, who wasn't there, until she couldn't really get a whole lot out of church worrying about where are they? The pastor and the church should not be distracted wondering where you are. The Bible said of Daniel that he was a dissolver of doubts. The challenge of the Christian is to love God and to live for God in such a way that when people see our lives, they have no doubt that serving God is what they should do. Our lives are not to be question marks. They're to be exclamation points that Jesus is good, that serving God is what life's all about, and everybody ought to be a Pentecostal Christian. In an hour when in denominational circles, faithfulness to God's house is minimized and thought to be insignificant. And even the apostolic church is being plagued with unprecedented absenteeism from church. Every pastor I talk to is in great derision and confusion about the insignificance of church and the lack of priority that is being placed upon it by the saints of God. I rise to you shortly after noon to remind you that the book still says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We know we are different in worship. We are different in doctrine. We are different in lifestyle. Let us also be different in church attendance. Exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Contrary to popular opinion, absence does not make the heart grow fonder. Absence does not make the heart grow fonder, but rather it makes the heart to wonder, and it makes the spirit to wonder. Faithfulness to God's house has never been more important and made more sense than it does right now. There may have been a day in the past when church attendance was a comfortable consolation, because in that day people had nothing else to do and they had nowhere else to go. But today it must be as David described in Psalm 137 and 6. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Church attendance must exceed consolation or last alternative. It must be our first preference of determined choice. The apostolic church must come back to saying, I will be in church. If I can get on my feet, if I can put my clothes on, I will be in the house of God. How many of you have ever felt sick, but you threw your clothes on and you made it to church, and before church was over, your sickness was gone by the power of God? I want to preach to us today that nothing should be more exciting, more rewarding, or more fulfilling than just being in church. I wish somebody would help me right now, jump to your feet and shout, I love church! This is not my career, it's my joy! This is not my profession, it's my life. I love church. If I'm preaching, I love church. If I'm not preaching, I love church. If my choir's singing, I love church. If my choir's not singing, I love church. We desperately need a revival of I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We need a revival. There's too many saints that are on drugs. I said there's too many Pentecostals on drugs. They have to be drugged to church. They have to be drugged to worship. They have to be drugged to a prayer room. We need to get the Holy Ghost until we can say, I was glad. I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 84 and 1 needs to be revisited. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I want to go to church. I want to go to church. I want to be in the house of the Lord. Every time the doors are open, if your family debates and there's a controversy about which service you're going to on Sunday, you need a Holy Ghost baptism. You need to be there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every night the church is open. Every night somebody's having church. Yea, the sparrow had found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell. I hadn't been in Raleigh long until one of our new converts dropped off the wagon. They weren't in church on Wednesday night. Checked up on them on Saturday. They said, I failed, Pastor. I made a mistake. They had fallen back to smoking. I said, when did you smoke that first cigarette? They said, Wednesday night about 8 o'clock. I said, do you know if you would have been in church, that would have been absolutely impossible. Because we don't smoke at church, we burn. A lot of your problems would be minimized if you would just get to the house of God. Blessed. Hey, somebody shout yes. I feel something in the Holy Ghost here. I feel like somebody needs to dance because you've got a good church. Somebody needs to shout because you've got a good church. Somebody needs to run these aisles because you've got a good church. There's nothing greater in your life than a good church. Now let me share something with you. We've implemented in Raleigh a new special policy. Pastor calls it the over 50 lap around the church. Here it is. That's what I call my lap around the church now. I just take one around. Somebody needs to know, I'm blessed to have a church in my life. I'm blessed to have a great church. Blessed are they that dwell in the house. And I like this part. They will be still praising thee. I don't want to use that word in reference to a wooden Indian. I don't see it that way. I believe it means if you'll just keep coming to church, you'll praise him when you're a child. You'll praise him when you're a teenager. You'll praise him when you're a young adult. You'll praise him when you're a young married couple. You'll praise him when you're a senior citizen. You will be still praising him. No matter what the devil throws at you, if you'll come to church, you'll make it. No matter what the world does to you. Psalm 84 and 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Somebody shout, yeah. If you're on vacation and it's over a Sunday, go to church somewhere. We don't take vacations from God. Vacations are not a time down from righteousness and holiness and purity and relationship with God. There's nothing I like better than the fact, now I really got on some of you there about going to church on vacation. If you can't go to church when you're on vacation, then serving God has become a career to you, like a doctor, a lawyer. If I can't just go to church and sit in the congregation and amen somebody else and worship with somebody else's choir, then I need to get the Holy Ghost all over again, because this is about me being on fire for God. So several years ago, Patsy and I started a vacation. We take a 2-week vacation every year. We miss one weekend. We're gone 2 weeks. And you say, what are you doing on your vacation? Nothing. Nothing. The highlight of vacation to me is this. We always surprise somebody by dropping in to church on Sunday morning somewhere. And sometimes it causes chaos. I'm never late, but on vacation I'm purposely late to church. I want to see what they're doing. And so Patsy and I will ease in, and I see the heads in a lot of places and the notes going to the pulpit. And the assistants run into the pastor and they're saying, oh my God, Pastor, that looks like Brother Huntley back there. And I see him thumbing in his Bible. My God. The policy is, when we're on vacation, I do not preach. I do not go to the platform. We amen the preacher. I want to see what's going on in church. I love church. And after church, we always take the pastor and his family out for lunch. And then we travel on to terrorize the next group. What's really good is when you drop in and they preach one of your sermons. I want to tell you why I love the house of God. When I was a teenager, my father was a hopeless alcoholic. A raging, raving alcoholic. Holes in the walls of our house. Food slapped off the table. You imagine it? I was raised in it. And there were many nights that my brother and my mother and I could not escape the house, because he may have a butcher knife holding us hostage while he was intoxicated. And we could get no rest at all until we devised with a pastor a plan. Our church was about 2 blocks from our house. And the pastor gave us a key to the church. And whenever he would get so wild that it was dangerous for our lives, and we knew we could not sleep that night, we would get together, and in a moment when he did not expect it, we would slip out the back door. He had no idea where we were, but we went to the church, unlocked the church, and slept on the church pews until the next day when we would dress and go to school and she would go to work. And nobody knew that we had slept in the church. There's something to be said about the peace, the serenity, the solace, the comfort of the house of God. It may not mean that much to you, but if you had to walk over beer cans, and you had to shut your ears to profanity, and you had to walk through vulgarity, you might enjoy coming into a place where people were saying, "I love you, Jesus! I bless you, Jesus!" I'm here to preach to you today that you can get at church what you can't get anywhere else. The bank doesn't have it secured in a vault. The bar doesn't serve it. The ballpark can't provide it. There's something you can get at church that you cannot get anywhere else. I know that you and Jesus can have your own thing going. I know you can watch your DVDs. I know you can pray and read your Bible. But there's something about coming in to the fellowship of the redeemed, where brothers and sisters are gathered together. And the Bible said, if any two of you shall agree, that lets me know, Brother Ewan, there's some things you can't get by yourself. You need somebody to agree with you. And when you come to church, you got a house full of people that are going to agree with you. If you could just get into the spirit realm for a moment. Every time you make it through the doors of the church, the devil kicks his imps and screams, "I thought I told you not to let them get there. I thought you were in under orders to keep them out of church tonight." Every time you come, it makes the devil mad, because church time for the Christian is like the ringing of the bell to a weary, battered, bruised prize fighter. The bell rings, and the church becomes your corner, where there are no punches thrown. There's cold water. There's comforting words. There's encouragement that is administered to you. I'm telling you, the reason the devil doesn't want you to come to church is because there's forgiveness there. There's mercy there. There's grace there. There's renewal there. There's encouragement there. And David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, there's going to be times you personally are overwhelmed. You don't know north from south, east from west, God from the devil, and right from wrong. Your whole world is in a dark cloud. David said, when that happens to me, somebody, notice carefully the word, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Sometimes you can't get there by yourself. Sometimes you're too low to get back up by yourself. You're too bruised to praise God by yourself. But a choir starts singing, or a preacher starts preaching, and something happens in that atmosphere. I wish somebody shout, church is important. Church is important. So I quickly move forward. the voice of the empty pew, it speaks. Every service that you're not there, that voice is talking. Your absence is speaking volumes. It speaks to the guests that may be there on that Sunday. It just happened to a friend of mine. He told me, he said his brother had invited some folks to church, and he wasn't there himself that Sunday. And the guest came in and said, "Where's he at?" The empty pew speaks to the guest. It says, you might want to think twice. This church is not as hot as you were told. The members don't even come. Hear me when I tell you right now, every service is a Super Bowl. We have no services just to pass the clock or fill the schedule. Every time we step out on a Sunday morning, it's the saints against the devils. It's heaven against hell. And somebody's got to have a touch of God. We are not allowed the luxury of a down service. So if you're not there, the voice of the empty pew says, maybe you ought to think twice about coming here. The voice of the empty pew speaks to the church treasurer. It says the finances are going to be down. Because I've noticed this in my years of skillful pastoring, that people that don't come to church rarely send their money. And I noticed this too. They'll say, "I wasn't there in body, but I was there in spirit." Spirit doesn't pay tithes. And spirit doesn't give to missions. And spirit doesn't bless the offering. And spirit doesn't bless the building fund. I want somebody to understand, when you're not in church, you're making a statement. It gets worse. The empty pew speaks to God. It says, "You're my Savior, but you're not my Lord. And other things are more important. But that's a greater priority. And you're really not number one in my life." I understand emergencies, folks. I live in a real world too. But I also understand, in the realm of the apostolic church, we are different. We brag about our differences. But here's one of our major differences that you may not appreciate. You can't join this club and not be in attendance in church and survive. Because this is not handshake membership. The Holy Ghost has got to be working in your life if you're going to stay saved. Now, I have been more personal in this camp meeting, and I don't know what it is, than any camp meeting or message I've ever preached. But I'm going to tell you something. In Raleigh, we have three services. You know what you want to do? I'm not condemning anybody. Saints, I'm not putting your pastor down. What he does is the right thing to do, and it's great. You support, be loyal to him. But I believe in Raleigh, we need three services. Sunday morning, we evangelize the lost. Sunday night, we edify the saved. And Wednesday night, we educate the church. Sunday morning we save the lost, because that's when sinners want to come to church in Raleigh. Sunday night we save the saved. Because you're saved, not because you got the Holy Ghost 30 years ago, but because the Holy Ghost has been renewed in you. It's not enough that guests talk in tongues. Saints need to talk in tongues. It's not enough that new people love the church, are excited. The saints need to love the church and be excited. The voice of the empty pew. It speaks to the pastor. Can I say it like I feel it? What it says is, your sermons ain't worth hearing. It says, your sermons aren't worth hearing. If your pastor is so great, why don't you get your body in the pew? Nothing speaks louder than you coming to church. The two highest compliments to a pastor is, number one, you come. Number two, you bring somebody with you. That's better than, you're the greatest preacher in the world. We got the greatest little pastor in the world. We got the greatest little leadership team in the world. Nothing speaks louder and more clearly than where you are on church time. And let me just say this while I'm really cleaning the plow here today. The front row seats cost no more than the back row. I get to preaching at home sometimes, filling my Holy Ghost Cheerios. The road that runs in front of our church is called Lake Wheeler. I said, some of you folks, sometimes you make me wonder if I couldn't go out there and put you a chair in the middle of Lake Wheeler. They're pinned against the back wall. If it was a rock concert, they'd be fighting over the seats. Last Christmas season, we took our grandkids to Disney World. And to see that great light show, fireworks thing at dark, you got to be there real early to get on the curb. So we get there an hour before it's scheduled to start. Brother Klein, yes, we're there an hour early, and we're tired. We're standing, the little kids are in front of us, and we think, well, we got a good place for our grandkids. And just when it's about ready to start, from the back of us come some folks. Hey, Mickey! And that's what I want to do. Or they come in with their lawn chair. They do that for Mickey, but I've never seen anybody do that for Jesus. They'll do it for the rat, but I ain't never seen anybody do it for the lamb. They'll do it for a rock concert. They'll do it for a ball game. But why do we want to sit as far back as we can get? Somebody needs to love the Word of God. Love the preaching of the Word of God. There is, and I want to tell you this. Your pastor is not above a good compliment. You know, I love Morrell Cornwell. This is his district. He's one of the funniest preachers I ever heard. I was preaching a camp meeting one time with him. He was preaching the day and I was preaching at night, and I went to the day session here. He got to preaching and he was going at it. He said, God, this is good preaching. He said, this preaching is so good, I think I'll buy the tape. I heard him say one Sunday, after he preached in his church, He went out, got in the car, sitting behind the driver's seat. All the family started getting in the car. He just sat there. They're all like, what's wrong? Car won't start. What's the deal? Somebody finally said, hey, are we going to go eat? He said, this car is going nowhere until somebody says, that was good preaching. I'm here to tell you, your pastor may look like Superman, but under his cape is a real need to be encouraged. Somebody needs to line up and say, oh, Pastor, that was a great message. Pastor, you were really preaching today. Pastor, we really thank you for that word of God. And I'm going to tell you, he needs it the most. When he's preaching the heart. And that's when the saints show up. The flatterers, you can't find them. Because when the bullets start flying, they're looking for somewhere to hide. But when the pastor steps out and he's torching the devil's hide, and he's blistering sin, and he's fighting the wolves of hell off that church, and he's putting his own life on the line for the weakest Christian in the church. Somebody needs to step up and say, I'm beside you, Pastor. I'm encouraging you, Pastor. Don't back up on the Word of God. Preach it, preach it, preach it. If you don't come to church, you're telling your pastor, you don't need his sermons. The empty pew says there will be two less hands to clap. The empty pew says there will be two less feet to dance. The empty pew says there will be one less mouth to praise. When you come to church, bring your hands ready to clap. When you come to church, bring your feet ready to dance. When you come to church, bring your mouth ready to worship and praise Almighty God. Everybody stand with me right now. Let me tell you what the occupied pew proclaims. Every time you come to church, you're making a statement. And your statement is, I may be fighting the devil tooth and toenail, but I've come to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I've come to serve the Lord with gladness. Brother Foster, I remember you telling me about a doctor that lived next door to you, and y'all took him to one of the churches in St. Louis when you were living there. And after the service, the doctor said to them on their way home, he said, this is the greatest church I've ever been in. This is the most wonderful thing I've ever experienced in my life. And this was what he was referring to. He said, nobody there acted like they didn't want to be there. Don't you ever doubt when people come in our doors, they're looking around, they're watching, they're looking for what's going on in the congregation, and your voice should say, I'm serving God with gladness. I'm coming before His presence with singing. I know the Lord, He is God. I know it is He that hath made me. I know that we are not our own, that we are His people, that we are the sheep of His pasture. I'm going to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to come into His courts with praise. I'm going to be thankful. Coming to church says, I'm thankful. Coming to church says, I'm thankful. I'm going to bless His name. Coming to church says, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Somebody shout amen. We're getting ready for a little sealer right here. Just before we leave this place, I believe God wants somebody to rejoice in His presence. One Wednesday night after church in Raleigh, I love to tell this story. One Wednesday night after church, this little black sister came up to me. She was kind of humped over. She said, Pastor, I walked over there. She said, I want to testify to you. You've got to have a little will. That's the way she did it. I want to testify to you. She said, Pastor. She said, when I'm lonely, He's my friend. When I'm having the money, He supplies my need. She said, oh, Pastor, when I'm sick and I need some healing, He's my healer. And then she said, ain't God somebody? Turn around and somebody say, ain't God somebody? Ain't God somebody? I wish somebody would get out in that aisle and demonstrate you love the house of God. Let somebody know you love church. Let somebody know you love the house of God. Does anybody love your church? Does anybody love your church?